Although students may be aware of many of the warning signs for suicide, we want to highlight some of the most common risk factors to be aware of before shifting into a conversation of how to connect to help in the next module. While Sources of Strength spends about 90% of our time focusing on upstream prevention, this module and the following is where we focus about 10% of our time on risk factors, warning signs, and intervention. Have the group open the peer leader guide to the page titled Suicide Risk Factors and Warning Signs for Youth and Young Adults. Use a calm and matter-of-fact tone as you continue the conversation about the risk factors and warning signs for suicide. In addition to many of the warning signs that were named in the initial brainstorm, highlight the four risk factors listed in the concentric circles on the peer leader guide. You can ask the adult advisors in advance if the peer leaders have already been made aware of the risk factors and warning signs around suicide that year. If so, the trainer can shorten and simplify this module.
I want you to open up your peer leader guides to the middle where it says suicide risk factors, warning signs for youth and young adults. As you can see there, there's a bolded list here of some of the potential warning signs of suicide. You all just listed many of these, and I would encourage you to read through this list and discuss it in more detail, maybe in a follow-up meeting with your team. But right now, I want to take you through a few minutes just to highlight the four circles at the top of the page and a few of the other risk factors. These are all considered risk factors for suicide. Experiencing these things doesn't necessarily mean someone would become suicidal, but they can be associated with higher risk, and they're things we want to pay attention to and take seriously. The first one is substance abuse. Research shows that approximately about 60 to 65% of suicide attempts amongst teens and young adults happen when they are using drugs or alcohol. Sometimes people will make jokes or comments about suicide when they're drunk or high, and their friends might not take them as seriously. They might think, oh, they're just drunk, they don't really mean that. However, typically when someone makes those jokes or comments, they've been feeling that way for some time. And because they're drunk or high, they're finally given voice to it. We know that when people are under the influence of drugs or alcohol, oftentimes their inhibitions are lowered and their impulsivity is raised. Coupling that with suicidal thinking can really be a dangerous combination, and we want to take that situation really seriously. We want to stay with them to make sure they are safe, and we want to invite someone else into the situation, getting a trusted adult involved, calling the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, or maybe even calling 911. The next piece, trauma. Trauma is another significant risk factor. A trauma could be an accident or a loss, or it could be exposure to harassment or violence or abuse. It could sometimes look like a traumatic brain injury, say a concussion that leads to serious mood swings or erratic behavior. And a trauma might be something that doesn't go away very easily and has a sustained impact on a person's life. Now, when we have a friend that we know has experienced trauma, whether that was a loss of a loved one, whether that was experience of harassment, an injury, or something else, we want to make sure we're checking in on them. And how are they doing? It often takes time to heal from a traumatic event, so it's important to keep checking in and making sure that our friend is getting the help they need and that they deserve to be able to move through and heal from that traumatic experience. It can also be traumatic if you come to school feeling like you're walking into enemy territory. It can be particularly traumatizing if people are being harassed for their gender, their sexuality, because of their race or their culture. So part of our mission is to help students feel accepted and safe, no matter who they are. Research shows that members of the LGBTQ+ community are put at higher risk for suicide. Notice I said put at higher risk. There's nothing about being trans or gay that makes someone at higher risk for suicide. Rather, they are put at greater risk by the way that society treats them. You can use your power as a peer leader to create a kind of culture in your school and community where everyone feels safe and where everyone feels like they belong, that they don't have to hide a part of who they are when they come to school. Another risk factor that's often overlooked is aggressive impulsive behavior. We often understand that isolating and withdrawing warning signs and see someone might be struggling. However, aggressive impulsive behavior prior to a suicide death is often even more common and sometimes might be more likely to be missed. Getting into fights, risky driving, punching holes in a wall, bringing a weapon to a party, dating violence, and other angry or aggressive behaviors are all signs that someone might be struggling and could potentially be feeling suicidal. We want to make sure we are checking in again on our friends that we are seeing these behaviors in and connecting them to the help they need and deserve. That last circle is depression. It's important to note that people might experience depression in a variety of ways. We are all likely to find ourselves feeling pretty sad or depressed at some point in our lives, but we can often put our finger on the cause. Maybe we've experienced a loss of some kind. A loss might be small, might feel down for a bit, but quickly recover. Or it might be something big, like losing a family member or a friend. And it might take some time to really heal. And sometimes people can experience depression not because of something that happened in their life, but because of something that is happening inside their body. Sometimes there is a chemical issue at play. And there's various types of depression, a couple I want to highlight here for you. We once worked with a 16-year-old with suicidal thoughts. He had several symptoms of depression, but one of our sources staff encouraged him to get a physical exam at the doctor. And through some blood tests, we revealed that they had a thyroid condition. And with proper thyroid medication, this suicidal thoughts disappeared within about a month for this young person. So what was going on? It was a chemical imbalance in their body, right? Not a depressive disorder. And with the proper care and treatment, they were able to get the help they need and deserve. Another really common form of depression amongst teens and young adults is something called persistent depressive disorder, previously known as dysthymia. Have you ever been chest deep in a pool of water and tried to walk or run to the other side of the pool? That's kind of what persistent depressive disorder feels like. You can do it, but it just takes a lot of work and energy. PDD might go on for months and months, but you can't really put your finger on what's wrong like you might be able to with a specific loss. The problem with this is that most teens will self-diagnose, but they don't diagnose themselves as having persistent depressive disorder. Rather, they think, I'm lazy, I'm stupid, I'm not good enough. And not that they have a form of depression that can be treated. But here's the good news. Nothing is wrong with you just because you may struggle with depression. It's not a character problem, it's a chemical issue. Just like having asthma doesn't mean you're lazy and not athletic, some of the best athletes in the world have asthma, and they live healthy lives by getting the proper care and using an inhaler. In the same way, many people with depression live full and healthy lives with proper care and treatment. Depression is very often treatable, but we have to be willing to try different approaches. It could be talking to a therapist or joining a support group, and it could also include a whole host of other things. Sometimes we hear from people who say they saw a therapist once and they didn't hit it off with them, so they stopped therapy altogether. That's like going on one bad date and never dating again. While it can be hard to find a good fit, it's important to continue to advocate for yourself or a person you care about to find treatment that works. Sometimes you have to try a few different things to find what helps. Speaking about dating, and another risk factor on this list I would like to mention is a relationship breakup. I want to make it clear that we would never say that a breakup causes someone to be suicidal. However, it can be a triggering event for someone. Almost all of us are going to experience a breakup at some point in life. A breakup can be so painful, but it's almost inevitable. So it's important for us to talk about healthy ways to deal and heal from these kinds of losses so that no one is put at higher risk for suicide. And if we have a friend that we know has just gone through a breakup, it can be really important and helpful to check in and see how they're doing. The final risk factor I want to highlight today is the one at the top of that list, previous suicide attempts. A previous suicide attempt can put someone at higher risk for another attempt. If you or someone you know has previously attempted suicide, even if there wasn't a hospitalization or no one else knew, it's important to make sure that that person has support from an adult that they can trust and can continue to check in with them and support them. So let's talk about what we can do to help connect someone to help if we see any of these risk factors or warning signs.